read these things about the Lord coming back. I just enjoy it. It says here, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Amen.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
Glory.
With a shout.
Amen.
With the voice of the archangel.
Amen.
And with the trump of God.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then will we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Isn't that song said? When we see Jesus coming to take us, gather us to him up in the sky. Then we shall meet him and praise him forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll understand it. All by and by.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Number 70. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with Saul Caper, I believe. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'd like to read a portion of it beginning at verse 12. Whereas the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Amen.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
And the foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?
Amen.
If the whole body were hearing, where were the hearing? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it is pleased him.
Amen.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body.
Amen.
And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
Amen.
And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor.
Amen.
And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness.
Amen.
For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. There should be no schism in the body, and the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or one member may be honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Amen.
Now ye are the body of Christ and members of the King.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We are the body of Christ.
Amen.
The body is not one member of many.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Now we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
One member suffered, all the members suffer with it, and one member will be honored, and all the members rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. We're rejoicing.
Amen.
Praise
Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to your name.
God bless you, the Lord.
Amen.
Worthy of wisdom.
Amen. You know, I was thinking last night when everyone was sitting at the good meeting last night, and I was thinking about the verse that says he gave gifts to the church. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good. All the gifts that we have in the church.
Amen.
All the people who can stand up and bless me. You know, it's not necessary. You know, I'm in New Mexico, and I have to bless everybody. I mean, nobody blesses me. I have to do the blessing. I have to do the preaching. I have to do the teaching. I feel like, you know, that it's just all a one man. I give. And anybody who tries to start a church, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Because you have to dig and dig and dig and try to give something that's necessary, and so many times it seems like it's useless. And yet we come, and we are a body, and it's not just a theory. We are a body.
Amen.
And you blessed me. I mean, last night there was about five or six messages that just really blessed me.
Amen.
I mean, I'm glad to know that God reckons things as though they were.
Amen.
I'm glad to know that God's going to thank me for being in my heart.
Amen.
Whether I fulfill anything. I've all my life, and nothing happened.
Amen.
I mean, if my life is apparently a waste, he's going to say, really? It was in your heart.
Amen.
I'm glad about these things, you know. And I'm glad God had somebody here to tell me about it.
Amen.
I'm glad that God gave gifts to the church.
Amen.
And I think, you know, these are nice gifts. This is good as any Christmas gift.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody gives our kids some money, we go out and give them gifts. And then he says, well, you know, man, is there always going to want one of those things? I thought, that is the dumbest thing to spend, you know, how many dollars you spend on that thing. That's just dumb. You know, these aren't just dumb gifts. These are good gifts.
Amen.
These are gifts that I appreciate, and I thank the Lord for. I really have a thankful spirit that God gave gifts to the body. And God is not expecting it all from me. But another thing I think about is, are we a body?
They are.
I mean, are we a body? Now, God sees us as a body. And you know the paradox that always happens. I mean, we see paradoxes all the way through it. What really is, I mean, really in God's eyes is, and yet what doesn't appear sometimes on the outside. I mean, I'm saved. I am irreprensible in His sight.
Amen.
And yet, I'm not so irreprensible, not irreprehensible, however you say that word. I am not so unblameable, unreprovable. I am actually pretty lousy, and I am not faithful. And yet, God doesn't see those things, and Dale shows us so clearly, God calls those things to be not as though they were.
Amen.
And He has the perfect right to say, Billy, you are unreprovable.
Amen.
And if He can say it, I can say it. I can say it by faith. I can recognize I'm dead when I'm not dead.
Yeah.
But then I think about, we're a body. We're a body. And yesterday I saw we are a body.
Amen.
And we are. But now let me ask you something. How real is that in your mind? You stop and think, what is the biggest hindrance to the body? What is the biggest hindrance? It is our flesh.
Right.
It's our flesh. Our flesh, the old man, hinders the new man.
Right.
The new man is the body. The new man, the human being, in Ephesians, we're talking about, He made one new man out of two different races, two different types of people. He made one new man. He's talking about the church.
Right.
And also, we have a new man inside us. We are a new creature. And yet, that new man is the church. And what is the biggest difficulty that the new man has? It's the old man, the
right.
flesh.
Yeah. Right.
And what is the flesh? Is that our sinful nature? Our things that even we consider hateful? Our pride, our malice, our anger, our sins. I think that the flesh is us. Just us.
That is right.
You know, it's me. I am Billy Kincaid. That's my flesh. That's me. You know, flesh just isn't my bad part. It's just whoever I am.
That's
me.
Right. That's right.
Brethren, as long as the me takes over,
amen,
then the you is going to be offended. You know, we talk about me and Joe. We know. Me and Joe know exactly whatever it is that grinds on each other. We understand. I'll tell you what grinds me about Joe. It's Joe. And I'll tell you what grinds Joe about me. It's me.
Right.
If I was part of the body, and if I really lived in the truth that I was part of the body, Joe would not grind me unless he stayed Joe. But if he was part of the body, he wouldn't grind me, and I wouldn't grind him. And whenever there's grinding, whenever there's problems, it's because there's too much you in the meeting.
That's right.
There's too much you in the body. There's too much of you getting in there. We don't want you. We want Christ.
Amen.
That's right. We want
Amen.
What Christ Amen. Is in you.
Amen.
We want what Christ has given you to the church for.
Amen.
God gave gifts to the church. Believe it or not, and I know I have to convince myself of this half the time, that God gave Joe to the church. And Joe's got to convince himself of it. God gave me to the church.
Amen.
I don't know what all my gifts are. I don't know what all his are. I got some ideas. But God gave me to the church.
Amen.
And as long as I keep getting myself in the way, the church is going to have problems with me. And if I could somehow get rid of the me, I mean, put off that flesh, put off that me, and become really, I mean, really experimentally, inexperienced, a member of the body, then nobody has problems with me, because
right.
I'm just a member of the body. Now, a member of the body does not exalt himself. He does not try to be me. I mean, I would not be trying to show off my gifts. I would not be up trying to make myself, and I would not pray, Lord, give me power. I'd be praying, Lord, give the body power.
Amen.
Give your church power.
Amen.
Give us power.
Amen.
Not me. I don't want it. And I have prayed that. I said, Lord, I don't want it. All I do is fail with it. All I do is get so proud or so built up and lifted up. Man, it's just too dangerous. If I ever get any gifts, I just mess it up. I messed everything up. And God ends up having to break me down again. I don't want to be broken anymore. But there is safety in the body. There is safety in the fact that
Amen.
God would just bless this church.
Amen.
Bless the church as a whole. Not bless you so individually.
Amen.
You know, America is the land of the individual.
Right.
I mean, it's the land of the youth.
Amen.
Man, different folks got different strokes, and everybody goes different ways. I mean, everybody is an individual, and everybody is interested in himself. And really, if you're going to run a country, that's probably the best way to do it. But that's not the way to run a church.
That's right.
Amen. That's not the way for us to have
Amen.
A church.
Amen.
And I'm trying to exalt me, and I'm trying to be me. Brethren, there's no greater joy. You'll have no greater joy, no greater victory than if you're in a church that's walking with the Lord.
Amen.
A church that has power. If you're alone and you've got power, you look at how many people God has really blessed. Then put it by themselves. And look how many like Samson. Look how many problems. Look at David. How many problems. And yet they were blessed specially from God. You can just name down a whole bunch of them that really, really did something for God by themselves in a sense. And yet there's a danger. And yet, brethren, God has given gifts to the church.
Amen.
He didn't give gifts so that you'd have gifts. I mean, Roland, he doesn't really care whether you got some gifts. He didn't give gifts to you. He gave you a gift so you could have them in the church.
Amen.
You can be part of the church, a member of the church. Brethren, there is no greater exaltation than to say, I am a member of the church.
Amen.
That is the highest thing you can get. When you say, I am a pastor, that's not so great. But you say, I am a member of a church who is victorious.
Amen.
Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against any one of them. Against the church.
Amen.
Your victory is in the church.
Amen.
You can have victory occasionally.
Amen.
As an individual. And God blesses you with great joy as an individual. But the church is the one that's going to be victorious.
Amen.
The church is what God sees as victorious. It's the beautiful bride. It's what He wants. It's what He loves. And we ought to just be happy to be part of the church.
Amen.
And when we stand up, when we witness, when we talk, we ought to always examine ourselves. What are you? Are you just a you? Are you just a Christian? Or are you just a member of the body? And man, if you can say, I am a member of the body, nothing more, I'm just a member of the body. And if I got gifts, God gave them to the church. I'm not going to exalt me.
Amen.
And if they got gifts, God gave them to the church. You would get rid of the you in the church, and the church would be more victorious.
Amen.
More experientially victorious. God sees things as though they were. I mean,
Amen.
Well, sometimes the church doesn't appear again. He sees that they are victorious.
Amen.
Because He knows the outcome. Well, that's
Amen.
Fine. I'm Amen. Glad. I know the outcome now, too. And I'm glad Dale said that. I it helped me. But, brethren, I would like to see the church victorious.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
It can be. I mean,
Amen.
If God sees it, then it can be.
Amen.
And the way to do it is to get rid of the flesh.
Amen.
Down with the flesh. Get out of the flesh. I mean, start being a member of the body.
Amen.
Less flesh, less me, and more the church.
Amen.
Amen. Lord.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, this thing with the body, you'd be so excited.
Amen.
I don't want to be nothing but just a member of the body. That's all I want to be. I don't want to be some spiritual great giant. I mean, no, I'm supposed to be a member.
Amen.
I want to be. That's who I am. If I want to be such a great giant, I never be. I don't think God wants me to be one. I think He wants me just a member. That's all He wants me to be.
Amen.
What gets me excited?
Amen.
It says we are members one of another. I was reading this morning the book on anatomy about cells, and I was noticing how these all these cells are together, and they got the blood vessels coming in. And I was thinking the same. It's so perfect. The time for the body,
that's
the
right.
Physical body is so perfect. Of us, we are a bunch of cells put together, and there's a life flowing in us, and that is blood flowing through us.
Amen.
But we're a bunch of cells separated. We're all separated into different parts. There's no blood flowing. There's no life flowing through us. We have a little amount of deposit right inside of us, each one of us separately, but it's not flowing like it should be because we're all separated. And not until we see it real, not until it becomes real to us, so real that we say, I'm not nothing, I'm not nothing. I don't want to be anything. I just want to be a part of the body. I want to be one little cell in that little piece of tissue so we can together become an organ that has physical, has life in it.
Amen.
A cell has a certain amount of life, but it's not really living, not until we hooked up with one of their cells and has some blood flowing
through us. That's right.
You know, it's so real to me now that we are a body. We're not just a bunch of individual. Members just trying to be all a bunch of spiritual giants, you know. I get our picture sometimes. We look at each other and we say, well, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to be a better preacher than him. I'm going to pass him. I'm going to step on him. I want to be that. That's that verse, who said it toward their night. I want to be that man. I want to be that man that's going to be that first one that touches the highest of glory, you know, whatever it is. But I don't care. I want to be that man. I just want to be a member in the body. That's
Amen.
All I want to be. And that's what satisfies me. When I recognize what my position, I'm nothing. I'm just a member of the body. And when I'm a member of the body, I'm hooked up with that life that the body has. That body, he says that he's a head. When the body's together, he can put his head on it, and it has life. Cut the head off, it don't have no life.
That's right.
It's dead. It might be like a chicken with a head cut off, running around looking like it has life. It's dead. It'll die in seconds. You know, I mean, life is like that. And they have a lot of, like you said, chicken. So true. They're sick. They're jumping around making a lot of emotional movements, but they have no real organization. Nothing real. But when our head's on us, right, when he's our head, we're going to put ourselves in the body. We're going to be have a living, like a living origin. We're going to have life.
Amen.
And so what I saw me last night. It was such a blessing to me. I saw Brad stand up, and he, Mike stood up. He said that, sling that little stone you got. And sure, that's Brad. He stood up, and he gave his little stone.
Amen.
That stone blessed me more than anything else out of the whole meeting. I had a joy. One little thing gave me so much joy, because I thought, that's so great. The little stone he had just gave me a lot of joy.
Amen.
So real. We are a body. And I'm going to give my part. I'm going to hold it in.
Amen.
We sing a song in the Song of Solomon in the fourth verse. Says, draw me. But then the next part says, we will run after this.
Amen.
You know, draw me.
Amen.
It's not just for me. Draw me and we will run after this. Let's sing that song. The Song of Solomon.
Okay.
verse chapter 1, verse 3. Thy name is the one before the Lord.
Oh.
same thing. I love Romans chapter 12. It's a blessed chapter. I get rejoiced every time I read it. Now, I've seen something here that I hadn't seen before. Now, I want to read the first 7-8 verses. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say to the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Amen.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. For he that teacheth on teaching, for he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. Look back in verse 1. He asks, he says, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, I've always used this as a challenge for individuals to go out and serve God as individuals. You know what he carries right into from this verse? He carries right into the body.
Amen.
What was mentioned already, that we need to become members. What if every one of us sacrificed our life? Huh? What if every one of us sacrificed our glory?
Amen.
Our exaltation. Our magnifying of ourselves. Our lifting of ourselves. What if every one of us sacrificed that and gave it to the church?
Amen.
Now, I want to say something here before I go on. There are some that say that we got to lose our identity. No. You know, some would say we have to lose our individuality. No. That's not what God's saying.
Right.
He says we're members in particular. We are all members. Every one of us are members.
Amen.
My friends, there has to be a diversity. There has to be a difference, but there has to be unity.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A foot is still a foot. I mean, we can't get around unless we have a foot.
That's fine.
I mean, it helps. That helps a lot. We got a foot that does that very function. And a whole body can't be a foot.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be funny? A body that was just a foot. People would laugh at that. Wouldn't it be funny? A body that was just an arm? No, it's made of individuals and thank God for it. He goes down to the line. He says, every man, where is it at? As a proportion of faith. You know, some of us as individuals have more faith than others. But every one of us take that faith that we have and use it for the body.
Amen.
Now, I tell you what's great about the body is when the head's in control.
Right. Amen.
When our head's out of control and the body's having compulsions and there's no control. I mean, we say there's something the matter. The person's sick. The body is in an ill state. No, when the head is in control. Who's the head?
Jesus.
Some would say the pastor's the head. No, my friend, you're mistaken.
Amen.
Some would say the Pope's the head. No, my friend, you're mistaken.
Amen.
Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Takes faith.
Have a head.
It takes Amen. Faith. It takes spiritual discernment. It takes a sacrifice to follow what Jesus said.
Amen.
Look down here, verse 3. Not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. Wouldn't that be great? Let me tell you something about the body. You get too cocky, you can be cut off. Mm-hmm. You don't think you're expendable? There's plenty of people running around without fingers.
That's right.
And the body's still functioning. A member can't say, hey, you got a hand. I'm the most important. Oh, yeah? Watch. We'll cut you right off. We'll see if we got to have you. Now, we don't actually do that. Nobody wants to lose a member.
Yeah.
They like to try to keep all the members.
Amen.
But you know, my friends, if a member gets defective and trying to glory in itself and starts getting that decay, that pride, and that canker in it, you know what they do with it? They cut it off.
Right.
When they find cancer in the body, you know what they do? They cut you open. They cut that thing out. Don't. Right? The member's not expensive. How much better to keep all the members
right,
and keep the cancer out of it? I mean, they'll put medicine in it. They'll put chemotherapy on it. They'll do everything they can to try to keep that member attached before they do cutting off. But members can be they can be cut off. Well, that's not what we want. We want every member functioning.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
Isn't that great when your fingers are working just fine?
Amen.
Isn't it great when your feet are working just fine?
Amen.
Isn't it great when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling pretty
brisk?
Amen. But, oh, how about them days you've got that 40 pounds of concrete on your foot? And it begins to hurt. Ah, but then you know what it says? The one that has suffered the whole body.
Amen.
That's true. Huh? You think about it. Oh, the church of God functioning the way it ought to be functioning. That's a blessing.
Amen.
That's a blessing. I mean, when one member is down and hurting, all the other body, the rest of the body's got their attention on that old toe that hurts. They're concerned about it. I mean, they're coming over, the fingers are coming over and comfort it.
That's right.
Huh? They put some ice on it. We'll make it feel better. Oh, what happens when the body of God, when an individual member never heard it, and the rest of the body comes over to comfort? Huh?
Amen.
How about when the legs are just tired and they don't want to go anymore? Huh? You know, I say, you can make it. Come on, legs. Come on. You can do it. That encouragement, that exhortation. But you know it all comes back to the head.
Amen.
It comes back to the head. I'm going to say this. I don't want to be repetitious. But it brings out the illustration so vividly in my mind. The idea of God's toolbox and how God works. You know, we talk about Christ as the head. And we have it in our theology, but practically speaking. And I want to try to show it to you from the toolbox, the idea of the toolbox. Maybe you've heard it, some of you haven't. But there was a toolbox invention. You have to have you use your imagination a little bit. A toolbox convention, that is a carpenter's toolbox, and got together, and the hammer had called the meeting to order. Rat-a-tat-tat. And they were going to have a discussion this day about some problems that they've had in the toolbox. And the hammer brought the meeting to order and said, okay, we'll have a discussion. Who would be the first to speak? And of course, I believe it was Mr. Ruler that stood up first. He said, yes, Mr. Hammer, I have a complaint to register with this particular union. We have some problems, and people just aren't measuring up. They're just not measuring up. I mean, I've gone around and I've stood next to people, and they're just not measuring up. They're not up to the standard they ought to be. I mean, I myself am a ruler, and I've walked around and I've compared other people to myself, and I know they're just not measuring up. Huh? There's a lot of people like that in the body. They're called Mr. Ruler. They judge everybody else by themselves and forget that God's the ruler. They judge themselves by themselves. The Bible says they're not wise. But anyway, there was an uproar from the back, and Mr. Saul stood up and said, wait a minute. And he began to talk with somebody. He said, wait a minute, Mr. Hammer, I got a complaint to register against Mr. Saul. What's the problem? Why don't we like him? He's always cutting people. Huh? Every time he preaches, man, he preaches hard and he cuts people. I don't like it. About that time, Mr. Sandhaver stood up and was going to say something, but again, a roar from the back. Said, we don't like Sandhaver. He's just too rough. He's too rough on us. He rubs people the wrong way. We just don't like the way he does things. Mr. Hammer was trying to get things in order, and somebody said, Mr. Hammer, we don't like you. You're always making a racket. I mean, you're always praising the Lord, banging on something. I mean, we don't like your tambourine. Man. We don't like you. You like you beating and making a racket like that. We like you. Wow. We like a holy man. That's our favorite verse. Eye contact. It goes on. So we can go through all of it. But alas, while these members of the toolbox were arguing and bickering back and forth and pointing their fingers at each other, at last the carpenter from Galilee came in. He picked up that toolbox and went over and got into the wood and used each one of those tools and he made him a pulpit. And there, from there, he preached the gospel. You know what? That's what the church is. Too many times, if the individual member says, hey, I got him as first register, I've been this individual. I don't like him because he's a ruler. I don't like him because he's a hammer. I don't like him because he's a saw. I don't like him because he's a piece of sandpaper. And somewhere along the line, we have an old toolbox to blame. I don't like it because I got to carry everybody else, you know. may have written, but you know what? When God comes in, He uses each one of us.
Amen.
Huh? You know what? We need the individuality. Because you can't build things with just a ruler. But you need a ruler. You can't build things with just a saw. But you need a saw. And the same thing with the Church of God, we need limited, we need a building today.
Amen.
We need a little kingdom.
Amen.
We need a diverse, we need a little kingdom.
Amen.
We need a Janice Ridge.
Amen.
We need a Terry Strike.
Amen.
We need a Dale West.
Amen.
All of them different. And sometimes they do rub each other the wrong way. But God needs each member. God wants each member. Probably need isn't probably the right word, but God desires to use each member. No, honey, I like the individuality that God is putting.
Amen.
Because it gets a blessing.
Amen.
And God can take that saw or take that hammer or take that particular vessel of His and use it for His glory. I've been in churches that they've tried to have the body functioning, but everyone is the same. What a need. Wouldn't that be funny?
Amen.
Dale stands up and he says something, and then I stood up and I said the same thing Dale said. And then Billy stood up, he said the same thing I said. And everybody, that would be no meeting. But I've seen him like that. Oh, how much when each member in their individualness can come together in unity.
Amen.
With sponsors to
hand. Amen.
I think that's the point of both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. That's one of our visions. To put that into reality.
Amen.
I tell you what, it's blessed me time and time again. Because there's come sometimes this old finger or this old little toe has come in here and he's hurting.
Amen.
He's hurting. And I'll laugh, tell the body, just tell him.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Going in line with this theme of the church, of the body, I'd like us to look at a few scriptures in the Bible concerning the divine gathering, an own ground of gathering, a divine center, should I say, would be a better word, a divine center, an only ground of gathering. And if you have a pencil or a pen, it might be good for you to copy these down. Maybe you have time later on to look at them and consider them. You consider them. I'd like us to start from the Old Testament and work our way through, going into the New Testament, and see what God's mind is concerning the only divine center of gathering and the only ground of gathering. We are gathered here right now. What is our divine center of gathering and what's the only ground upon which we should gather? What's God's mind on this? What does God have to say about this? We don't want the traditions of men or we want the thoughts of men. We don't want anything like that. Because if we take the thoughts of men and traditions of men, we're going to step off God's ground.
Amen.
We want to stay on God's ground. And just like God told to Moses, he said, make it according to the pattern that I've shown you in the mountain.
Amen.
And we got to follow God's pattern if we're going to have God build it. See? And if we go about to try to build our own kind of building, we go about to try to turn up our own blueprint, what's going to happen is we're going to end up not being in the center of God's will, the way God wants it. Well, let us start with the first book of the Bible. And we're not going to go through every book of the Bible, but we're going to start there and look in Genesis 49. What is the divine center and only ground of gathering that's found in the Scriptures? This is a gathering today, and the Lord willing, we will continue to have gatherings tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. What is divine gathering? What is God's divine gathering point? The only ground for gathering. Let's see. Look at verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Here we find the prophecy way back here in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And God says, and this prophecy is given by Jacob to his son Judah. And he says, and I believe it's a prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. And he calls the coming Messiah here Shiloh. Shiloh. And he says, this one, this Shiloh, he's going to come through Judah. He's going to come through Abraham. First of all, he's going to come through the seed of the woman. Now, and then it's narrowed down because he's going to come through Abraham. And then it's Isaac. It's going to be through Isaac. It's going to be now in Jacob. And now it's narrowed down in the 12 tribes. It's going to be through Judah. Through Judah. And we're told in the book of Hebrews that our Lord came through the tribe of Judah. And here's that. So we have a fulfillment of that prophecy when the Lord Jesus comes. He said he comes through the tribe of Judah. And what does it say here in this prophecy? Unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Amen.
Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Why did you come here today, and why are you gathered here today? If it hasn't been to be gathered unto him, and God has not gathered you unto him, if you have just come to be gathered unto preaching, or gathered unto a man who preaches, or any other particular reason that you might have, you're not in God's divine pattern the way he wants it. He says, unto him shall the gathering of the people.
Amen.
Unto Christ.
Let's see.
All right, let's go on here. Look at Psalms. Psalms. And chapter 22. Verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I believe the one who's speaking in this passage is the Lord Jesus himself. And the Lord Jesus here is a prophet, tremendous prophecy, one of the greatest prophecies that it is one of the most well-known prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus, found here in Psalm 22, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we find here the terrible crucifixion he has to go through, the terrible death he has to go through for the sins of mankind. And then we find him here, risen from the dead and victorious. And what does he say? As one risen from the dead, he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Where is the Lord Jesus after his resurrection? Yes, he goes to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. But yet, being the all-present God, he's there amongst his people.
Amen.
In the midst
Amen.
Of his people.
Amen.
And there he leads forth their praises in their midst.
Amen.
Amen. He's the leader and the one who leads in the praises that are going to be offered unto God.
Amen.
In the midst, it says, of the congregation are like praise. Then look at Psalm 50. Verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me.
Amen.
Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Well, you know, brother, first of all, really, I believe the Christian life begins by coming to Christ. Him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast
Amen.
Out. You say, is that a hard thing? No, it's not a hard thing. I think it's very easily explained, just like when the Lord said to Peter. Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out in this water. And what were the Lord's words to him? Just one,
amen.
Come. You know, the Lord Jesus, you know, he speaks to the heart in need. And that heart in need, he says, I'm the answer to that
need.
He said, you know, like Brother Olaf one time said, if Jesus just don't have the answer, he is the answer.
Yeah.
He is the answer. And he says, come unto me. And that's how the Christian life begins. When one comes unto Christ. When one really truly comes unto Christ, it's like he's the only real mark of safety. Just like what the Lord said back there over there in Genesis, when he said to Noah and his family, he said, come into the ark. Come into the ark. And brethren, the only place of safety. And there was a terrible wrath of God against sin. Brethren, is in the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus. And God bids, come into the ark. You know, and here he says, gather my saints together unto me.
Amen.
Christ wants us to be gathered unto him. Christ has his purpose and desires and has worked things that his people, his saints, would be gathered unto him. And it says, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Brethren, there's only one way we can come. connects only by the sacrifice.
Amen.
Brethren, it says by the blood of Jesus that we enter into the holiest. Brethren, if the blood, there be no blood, there be no entering. Mm. It's a holy God we're dealing with. But we're finding that in the blood of Christ, all the divine requirements of righteousness have been met.
Amen.
God is satisfied. God says now, come.
Paul's been finished. Christ says, it is finished. Now he says, the only thing that needs to be, just come.
Amen.
Come to me, who's finished the work.
Amen. On to me, he says. Gather my saints together unto me. And then look over there in let's go into the New Testament now, Luke 24. You know, brethren, we haven't been saved by the sacrifice of Christ. There's no way we can ever claim the promise of being gathered unto Him.
Right, right.
See, that has. See, God's a holy God. And if He says, dwell in the midst of a people, it has to be dwelled in the midst of people on the basis of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed that He never said to Adam, He's coming to dwell in His midst? Did you ever notice He never said to Abraham, He's coming to dwell in His midst? Did you ever know He never said to Isaac or Jacob or any of the patriarchs, He's ever coming to dwell in their midst? But when He brought out Egypt from the land, He said He brought him and He redeemed him with the price, and now He's coming to dwell in the midst of them.
Yeah.
And at Acts, at Pentecost, it says God was going to give His Spirit, and His Spirit was going to come down and dwell in the midst of His people, and in His people on what basis? Because of the finished work of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It was only after the work has been finished and the ground of redemption has been satisfied by God and has been made by God that God now can dwell in the midst of His people. No redemption, no dwelling. But brethren, the good news is there's been redemption.
Amen.
And now there is dwelling.
Amen.
The Spirit of God came to dwell because Christ has finished the work. He said, He has not come. Remember, He said in John, but He says, I have nothing glorified. After He was glorified, if I go to heaven, I'll send another comfort. Yes, after the work's been finished, now the ground's been laid, the Spirit of God, now God can come and dwell in the midst of it. Well, Luke, we find here something. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, beautiful passage in Luke 24. In Matthew, Luke 24. Get over there. 24 and verse 36. As they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. After His resurrection, we find the disciples up in the upper room, the spirit of the Jews. What do we find here? We find the Lord Jesus comes to be in the midst of them after His work's been finished. He's risen from the dead. Where does He desire? Where does He go? He goes to the Father. And after He goes to the Father, He comes down and stands in the midst of them and says, peace be unto you. Brother, what is one of the great things? That one of the great characteristics of the Lord Jesus in the midst. Peace. He says, peace has been made by God by the blood that I have shed. Peace has been made by the blood of the cross. All has been finished and peace has been made with God. Those that are justified now by faith have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes now to dwell in the midst of you. Peace be unto you. Peace. Chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear, the Jews came, Jesus, and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you, verse 26. And after 8 days again, the disciples were with Him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Brethren, that's what we want. Then came Jesus. Jack Howes, when Pastor preached the sermon, he said,
you know, about the make the path straight, you know, and make their highway straight and bring down those high places and bring up the low places. He says, all with the kingdom come.
Amen. You know, it says, then Jesus came. Then came Jesus. The door is being shut, stood in the midst. That keeps the unbelievable.
You know, as we consider this tremendous gospel, as we find the scriptures concerning the body, concerning the church, rather than what they need to keep, either before us, we never ever be watchful for it, is we let them take our eyes on Jesus in the midst and put them on the body. We don't get occupied with the body and lose occupation with the head. The body needs to always be looking to the head. We don't want the body. I don't want my fingers looking at my other fingers. I want the fingers looking ahead, because then my fingers will function in the way that they need to function for my other fingers. If they don't, then really we're going to be a hindrance one or another as well. Well, brethren, the thing is, I think the thing we need to do is be occupied with the Lord Jesus. We come here because He's made a promise to be in the midst. Be in the midst. That He's in the midst. And He's in the midst. I want to be gathered unto Him as God's desire heart is. He desires that His people would be gathered unto Him, and He is that divine center and only ground of gathering. And if we try to gather on any other ground or gather to any other center, we step out of God's mind. Step on to the ways of man. Shake it, He said, when the winds come. No, when the storms of life come, the gray will be upon. Yes, brother, we need to stand on the rock.
Amen.
Amen. Stand on the rock. Well, let's go on. Look at Matthew 18, verse 20. Matthew 18, 20. Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered together in my
Amen.
Name, He don't need a big gathering, does He? Just two or three.
Amen.
Brethren, you can be wherever you might be. You know me and my wife sit down and stand together. You don't got what you got right here. Brethren, you can come here.
Amen.
Amen. We got as much as you got.
Amen.
We got as much as you got.
Amen.
We got everything we need in San Miguel.
Amen.
We got Him.
Amen.
Brethren, we got to meet the prerequisites. So when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I like to say a word on this. I think many times we quote this passage and we take it lightly. I think just like when it says to pray in His name. If you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And so we pray a prayer, we tap on the name of it at the end, in Jesus' name, amen. But how many prayers did you pray like that in Jesus' name, amen? And God didn't say amen to it. And you never got it.
Nice.
But Jesus said every prayer that's prayed in His name would be given by the Father.
Nice.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's a right thing that we do not take any name that man has given man. Man has given the church. I believe the only names that we should ever take are the names that we find that God gives us in the Scripture. To take any other name is the type of name that God never says that we should have. And all it is just makes division. And that's what the very word denominations come from. It's, I mean, from a Latin word that has the idea behind it, the root divisions. That's not God's mind. That's not what God wants for the church. I believe that's right. But just because we have a sign outside that says the meetings are in His name, does not mean always that we are gathered in His name. For when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Brethren, in His authority, got to be the utmost authority. He's got to be in head, and He's got to be the one who's leading, and He's got to be the one who gets the preeminence, and He's got to be the one, brethren. And if it's not so, then brethren, no matter how many times we can say we have to, we gather in His name, brethren, the truth of the matter is we're not really gathering in His name, and no matter how many prayers we offer and we say it's in His name, brethren, if it's not under His leadership and by the guidance of the Spirit of God and offered according to the will of God, by your faith given from God, brethren, we don't really offer Him in His name.
Amen. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Did you notice something about that verse that says, these being gathered, they're passive. They're not active. In one sense of the word.
Action is being done upon them. It says they are, being gathered. Someone or something is gathering them people. When people are really gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is gathering.
Amen.
I believe the Spirit of God is the divine power of gathering, and He gathers them unto the name of Christ, and in the name of Christ. And it's that name, that mighty name, that gathers His people unto Himself with Him in the midst.
Then the promise is sure. There am I in the midst of them. How poor and how poverty stricken are the people of God when they gather and He's not in the food. Lord, oh, how rich and how full and how everything better when He is. Brethren, whatever the condition is, or whatever that really means, brethren, we need to. By all gumption, that could be gumption in us, we gotta go after it. Gathering His name. Gathering His name. I will be gathered by God in the name of Christ unto the person of Christ. Oh, what a blessing. Well, let's go on to the epistles very quickly here. Let's go on to the epistles. Look at 1 Peter. First Peter.
First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Praise God, even that dead. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious.
Amen.
Since that, I don't want to ask God to be precious.
Amen.
Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. There he goes again, precious. God speaking there. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, He is precious.
Amen.
That must be a good word for God. Precious!
Amen.
He looks at Christ. You know, comes out of the mouth of God, precious! This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Unto you therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. God might men might disallow him, but God set them up at the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice verse 4. To whom coming? To whom? The living stone. The stone rejected of the builder, but made by God the head of the corner. Who is that stone? Oh, brethren, there can be no doubt about it. It's the Lord Jesus. And it says to Him coming. I want you to notice something here. I believe not only the Christian life begins by coming to Christ, but I believe, brethren, that in the Christian life it's a continual coming to Christ.
Amen.
He says, to Him coming. It doesn't say to him that you to whom you came. Have been.
Amen.
He's saying right now in the present,
amen,
you're coming. You keep coming to Him. And isn't that your experience as a believer?
Amen.
Have you stopped coming to Him?
Amen.
No, brethren. God continues to draw us unto His Son. To whom coming? We keep coming to Him. Brethren, where else are we going to go?
Brethren, there's no other place we want to go.
To whom coming has on a living stone.
Brethren, we don't go to the tomb.
He's not in there anymore. He's in heaven. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the God, the Father, victorious, living, and just waiting to his enemies be made his footstool. To him coming, whether by a new and living way, by the blood of Jesus.
To him coming. And then notice who's coming. And this is a beautiful thing. Lively stone. Ones who were one time dead in trespasses and sins, but now quickened together with Christ. And it says these
living ones who've been quickened together with the life of Christ are now coming on to the very source of that life. Christ. What Brother Tony was talking about, he's the source of life. And his life dwells in us. And to him we come. To him we come for life. And in him we find life. In him we've been quickened together with. Quickened, made alive. And who are they? Priesthood. Priesthood. I want you to know there's two priesthoods here. Very important. Two priesthoods. Verse 5. And a royal priesthood. And a royal priesthood. And verse 5. A holy priesthood. Verse 9. A royal priesthood. Why did God mention two priesthoods and he says the believers are in both? I want you to notice, the holy priesthood is upward, and the royal priesthood is outward. The holy priesthood is Godward, and the royal priesthood is manward. You know, the priests in the Old Testament had a double function. They went to God for the people.
And they went to the people for God.
You ever notice that in the Old Testament?
Amen.
He had a twofold function.
Amen.
And he says, you as priests are in this double priesthood. You're in a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. And you have a ministry unto God, and you have a ministry unto man. He says right here in verse 5, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, what? To offer up.
An upward priesthood, see?
To offer up. Spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. No longer the physical sacrifices of the Old Testament, but now the spiritual sacrifices to be offered to who? To God, brethren, every one of us who are in the body of Christ, every one of us who are saved, you have that priesthood. You can be here, and one of those sacrifices that we've been seeking to offer during this time is to be a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. And brethren, this is what I believe. I believe it's to God. It's up. It says we're to offer it up to Him. Notice it's all given by Christ. It's to God, but it's by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Brethren, all the sacrifices have to go to Christ to get to God. So make sure we offer them that way. And you know what I also think? I believe I'm just in kindergarten when it comes to praise. I am. I'm really just in kindergarten when it comes to the school of praise. And one of the things I've been thinking about when I think about praise a lot of times, and I think we need to really consider this, when we come to the area of praise, is that, we offered it on to Him. Did you ever know when you said, praise the Lord? You know what you're saying? It's a command. That's what David's doing in the Old Testament. He's saying, praise ye the Lord. He's commanding. When I say, praise the Lord, you know what I'm doing? I'm commanding people around me, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But brethren, when I offer praise, it's not praise the Lord. It's praise to you, my Father. Praise be unto you. I'm offering it to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm saying that when I say, praise the Lord, I'm offering a command. I'm giving a command to those around me. But when I'm in my holy priesthood, I'm supposed to, when I do that sometimes, I should respond. But not respond by saying, praise the Lord, and give another command. But by saying, praise unto you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you. And I believe when a man gets up and he speaks on the praises of God, when a man gets up and he speaks concerning the Lord Jesus, he's praising us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever thought about that. If I go over to Brother King and I talk to you about what he says, well, that guy is some guy. That guy can really do things. That guy can really preach. You know what I'm doing? I'm heaping praises on him. And when I get up and I say, oh, the Lord is good. I'm praising it. I'm using praises. I'm speaking praises. That's what I'm doing. And I say the Lord is good. I heard a man offer a sacrifice of praise one time during a meeting. It was during a mission conference. He just lost his daughter and his nephew, and he was down with sickness and ready to come off the mission field. Things didn't look too well up for him. And I remember him getting behind me. I don't know if he knew if that was an offer. That was a sacrifice of praise. And he got up. He said, I want to say one thing. Brethren, he could. He wasn't, he didn't have the gift of an orator, so to speak. He didn't have the gift of exhortation or teaching. But I tell you what he did, I can remember. You know, that's the thing I do remember to this day about that mission conference. That one thing I want to tell you, brethren, the Lord is good. You know what he did? He prayed the Lord.
Amen.
That was prayer, brethren. Praise is to speak well of him.
Amen.
To speak the truth concerning him. That's what I believe praise is. And when I get up sometimes to just preach and I speak the truth concerning him and I speak of the goodness concerning him, brother, when I speak of him and all his virtues and excellencies, I'm heaping praise upon him.
It's a good thing to keep in mind, Christian.
Good thing to keep in mind, I think. Well, just a few thoughts on that. But anyway, it's to be up to him. Then this one says, the royal priesthood, it says what to do. And here you go, Billy. This is what we're talking about, the idea. But what God says we are, but the idea of then trying to work it out in practical application. Notice what he says in verse 9. Ye are! He says, this is what you are. And then notice what he says down here. That ye should show. That ye should. You are that you should. He says, this is your position, and I put you in this position that you're able to do this function. And if you're not in that position, you can't do the function. But praise God, he says, you are.
Amen.
He says, you're a royal priest. I'm not going to go through it, just the royal one. The royal priesthood, and what's the royal priest do? He shows forth the praises of him who has called you, who has called him out of his darkness, out of darkness, into his marvelous light.
Amen.
It doesn't say he gives praises to God. He offers praises to God
here in this priesthood.
That's in the other priesthood. It says in this one, he shows forth the praises of God. The praises that are from God. The excellencies and virtues and praises of him. He is to show forth to who?
Those who are around is an outward priesthood.
Amen.
Not to the, only to the body, but to the world.
Amen. As a royal priest, we are to show forth the praises of him. The excellencies and the virtues and the good, whatever the character of the Lord Jesus, the image of the Lord Jesus, we are to show forth Christ in us throughout, out from our lives, outward to men. To show forth the praises of him. Let your light so shine. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Where are we going to get that light? We reflect like the moon. We reflect light from the sun. The sun is the Christ, so to speak, in Christ, and the moon is the church. It has no light of itself, but it can reflect the light of Christ. And in doing that, it shows forth the praises of him. It's an outward priest to the man. Brethren, we have two. We have that twofold ministry. And we can function in the church, being gathered unto Christ, in that twofold ministry. As a holy priest, offering up sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ, by Jesus Christ. And number two, by showing forth the praises of him outward to man. Brethren, what do we have to offer, man? Brethren, we have nothing of ourselves to offer. We have nothing of ourselves to offer, but we have something from him to offer. The praises of him. How glad, man. Then, very quickly, Titus. 14, and here's where I think we also see the royal priesthood here. 14, but I want you to bring up the point again, keeping what's before us here. The divine center, ground of gathering, only ground of gathering, being the Lord Jesus himself. Verse 14, chapter 2 of Titus, who gave himself for us
That's substitution, isn't it?
Amen.
We might not find a word in the Bible, we sure find a doctrine in the Bible.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And here's the purpose, the twofold purpose or objective concerning the work of Christ on the cross. Number one, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Christ doesn't save us in us, he saved us from our sins. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt call the name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. It says here that he might redeem us. And I believe this redemption here has the idea of deliverance. Redemption sometimes has the idea of buying. By buying and purchasing, by paying the price. But here we find, I think, another aspect of redemption, the idea of delivering. Israel was bought and delivered.
Amen. Okay.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And what? Here's the second one. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous with good works. Zealous with good works. Notice, purify where? Unto himself. There's the divine center of gathering, brethren. Unto himself. We are to be a peculiar people unto himself. We are to be his possession. We are his possession. And he has bought us that we and redeemed us and delivered us from the evil and unto himself. Unto himself, you see. And notice, a people zealous of good works. Here's the royal priesthood, I think, showing forth good works. They're zealous of good works. And people might say, well, what is a good work? It's a work that's wrought in God. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? That man came up to him and said, I know you're good, because there's none good but God. What he was saying is, I don't believe he was saying that I'm not God. I believe that what he was saying here, if you're saying to me good, do you realize what you're saying? He said, the only one who's good is God. So where did we get work? Where's the only place we're going to find good work? God.
Yeah.
Remember what it says in John? It might manifest that the work that you, that this work was wrought in God. I believe a good work is a work that's wrought in God. And I believe the moment we get in Christ, we can begin to, from that moment, begin to wrought works. Good works. Works that have been wrought in God. And then, brethren, two more passages. Hebrews 13. We were looking at a lot of the blessedness concerning of this. The brethren is a reproach that goes along with it. Look at verse 13. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Where are we to go? Out of the camp. Where to? Unto him. You see what's the divine center of gathering? Christ. But notice, he gathers us out of the camp and where? Unto himself. He says what? Well, notice, bearing his reproach. Brethren, in separation from that which is in the camp, and going out of the camp and going on to himself, there's going to be reproach that goes along with that. There's going to be persecution that's going to go along with that. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
But all that we might be like Moses, and might be able to see like Moses, who said that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures that were in Egypt. Yes, there were treasures there, but all the reproach of Christ is considered to be greater riches than that. And may we have such an attitude, and may we realize that going out to Christ from the camp, and what does the camp speak of? I believe it speaks of that which is religion, but where God is no longer. That was Judaism. The camp was Judaism. God was through with Judaism and has brought in a new thing. He was out of the camp. And I believe that's where we got to go. Out! Not stay there in dead religion. Out! Come on to Christ. But brethren, you know who's been a person? You know who persecuted the apostles? When they came out of the camp and came on to Christ? The religious world. The camp! Okay, one more passage. Beautiful passage. So, brethren, we need to realize this and be prepared for it. And have the mind of Moses. Oh, the reproach of Christ is greater than the truth. And the treasures that are in Egypt. And look at Proverbs, one more verse.
Chapter 18 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe.
Amen.
That's where we need to go, gentlemen. That's where we came for salvation. That's where we need to come daily. That's where we need to come and come here together. Let's gather unto in His name and run into His name. And there, brethren, the righteous shall be saved. There, brethren, the righteous will not only be saved, but be saved. Well, I think it's pretty clear from the scripture. I don't know if it's clear with you, but I think it's pretty clear, at least with me, and I hope with some of y'all, that the divine center of gathering, and only ground of gathering, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And brethren, we really do. We need to be gathered in His name. And as we're gathering this morning, we will fulfill what He said that He would do. There will I be in the midst of them. And where He's in the midst, then we'll hear the sweet word. Peace. We ought to do it.
Amen.
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 Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Sing so Him to ride upon the heavens by His name. Sing so Him to ride upon the heavens by His name. Sing so Him to ride upon the heavens by His name.
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your rich blessings to us.
Amen.
We just thank you that we can gather and praise your name and bless your name. Lord, rejoice in our great salvation. Lord, we thank you for you being the head and being in the midst of being Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you that we've been gathered together unto you.
Amen.
And Lord, we've even chosen to gather unto you. After the drawing you've drawn, we've chosen you. We've chosen Zion, and we've chosen Jesus. And Lord, we've chosen you as the center of our gathering. Lord, we thank you for the drawing you've placed upon our hearts, and the doctrine in our minds, and the life that's there. Lord, we want life.
Amen.
We want life more than anything else. We want to walk in your life with your spirit.
Amen.
With your joy and your praise, because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Lord, we want to bless your name. We want to praise you.
Amen.
We want to glorify you.
Amen.
Lord, we do praise you. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, we pray that you bless this food to our bodies and our fellowship one with another.
Amen.
This is a time of rejoicing. God,
Amen.
We want to rejoice in you.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want to be tied up with this old world or even the problems of the church or the problem. Lord, we just want to bask in your presence.
Praise
Amen.
You, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, it's a time of feasting.
You are the
and rejoice and praise.
Praise.
Oh God, receive it. Oh God, we thank you for our riches. We thank you, Lord, for our provision. We thank you, Lord, for the abundance that we enjoy and the freedom that we enjoy. Lord, we thank you for this food today and our fellowship and all your rich blessings to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We may need a couple to help out.